Hey guys, Diane Canada here. Welcome to the show. It's good to be back with a lot of y'all on social media. Been banned a lot lately, censored, shadow banned, all that. But you know what? I felt like today's message was worth giving it another shot. Today, we're going to be talking about how there's no cavalry coming, y'all. We are the cavalry. Be right back.
Now's the time for faith. I will praise your holy name.
Hey guys. All right. Welcome back. Okay. I do encourage you as you're watching today, if you're watching on the live version, to interact. I can see your comments. Would love to hear from you, see what's on your mind today. But today we're going to be talking about how we are the cavalry. There's not a cavalry coming, y'all. We're in a really pivotal crossroads in our country right now. Incredible pivotal crossroads. And, I think a lot of us are kind of sitting back and waiting for like this political savior, this political white horse to swoop in and kind of turn our nation around. But I think a lot of us pinned our hopes on, on Trump for that. I don't think he's done, but we can't pin our hopes on one person. We can't wait for this, knight to ride in on this white horse. It's going to come down to us. He did amazing things, but one of the things he did is he really upset the swamp creatures, and they are fighting back with a vengeance. So this is not something that we can just ride out. It's something we're going to have to ride into. We're going to have to ride into the battle, but we're not going in with force. We want to go in from a place of faith. Faith over fear. Faith over all of these worries and anxieties that we have. We've got to bring those into order, and we've got to bring them back under our umbrella of faith. Otherwise, we're all going to go crazy. So here's some good things I wanted to point out today. Some good things that came out of the last 4 years during the administration of Trump. The swamp was exposed. We now see how far and wide that swamp is. And I think it's got a lot of us pretty freaked out. But here's the good thing. Now that we know where their hiding places are and the light is shining brightly on those hiding places, they can't sneak up on us anymore. I think we see the trolls now. We see where they've been living, all the bridges they've been living under. We're now aware of the tactics that they've been using to seduce and indoctrinate our kids for the last couple of decades. We know who's been doing it, and now we know how to go after that. Those positions, those elected positions, and how to hold them accountable and how to overturn them. I think the everyday person, this is what I have heard and seen from so many people that I've talked to, is that we were busy raising our families. We were enjoying a lot of the bounty, the abundance of living in America. We weren't paying attention. So while we weren't looking, our kiddos were being subjected to a lot of this. And now we've got a generation that's champions for socialism. So we've got to turn it, but this is a train that's been gaining momentum and speed for a while, and it's not going to turn on a dime. We're going to have to win those hearts and minds back. And I have some ideas on that I'm going to share with you here in a minute. Another thing that they did, some good things that came out of that administration was we now see the weaknesses of the left. We can now pinpoint, we can see the Achilles heel. All right. We have to use spiritual weapons to fight this. I think we've got to learn to tap into our spiritual weapons, because what a lot of you are saying and what I wholeheartedly believe is this is coming down now to a battle between good and evil. Now, God says the battle is not ours. He says the battle is mine, but we have a part in it. We're soldiers in it. And so we have to be suited up, and we've got to use our spiritual weapons to combat this. It's not going to be won any other way, I don't think. And lastly, we have a decision to make. We can either stand up for our country, or we can turn it over to those who literally hate us. So there's an author I've been exposed to recently that I thought has some really key insights into this. His name is David Murray. He's a British author, but he lives here in the States, and he's done some incredible work in his career. So look him up if you can. But David Murray said, we need to get back to our moral confidence. And I love that. Like, I just want to kind of marinate on that for just a minute. We've got to get back to our moral confidence. So what does that mean? Because we know in America, our morals have kind of gone off the rails in a lot of ways. But I think we have to come back to that the founding principles. Again, I keep talking about those. Will there be consequences? And I'm going to get into that in a minute. But will there be consequences if we come back to that moral confidence? Yeah. What if you lose your job? Like, what if you lose X, whatever X is, all these things that we're so afraid to lose, whatever it is, we're at a point that if we aren't willing to risk those things, and I always say never be reckless in risking them. Always go to God, be spirit-led, ask for his wisdom on where and how you need to stand up. I'm not saying go and just throw all caution to the wind. I'm saying be very spirit-led on your decisions. But if we're not willing to risk these things at this point, then we're at risk of losing our country. So at some point, I mean, it's at our doorstep, right? These far-left radical agendas are on our doorstep. They are at our kitchen table now. I say a lot now that the battle is no longer on the battlefield. It's in our classrooms, it's in our boardrooms, and it's around our kitchen tables. So whether we like it or not, it's here. Okay. So we have a choice. Are we going to continue to allow the decay of our nation, or are we going to stand up? But we've got to stand up in the right way. Standing up, in my opinion, does not mean coming at this with force and with beating people over the heads with Bibles. That's not what it is. All right. But this is not a drill. We have never been closer to socialism or Marxism than we are right now. We still have time to course correct it. I believe that with all my heart, but we don't have a lot of time. So we've got to choose how we're going to use that time. Remember back in school, we got to use our time wisely. All right, so here's some ideas I have on this today. First of all, I think we've got to start playing offense and not strictly defense. This is what conservatives do so much. It's like we kind of, because we're not assertive, we don't want to be aggressive, but because we're not assertive, we're not playing offense a lot of the times. We're getting our butts kicked on the field by those who are. We're always reacting instead of acting. We're not responding. We're reacting. We're knee-jerk reacting to a lot of things, and we're just getting our butts kicked. We've got to amplify the things that make America great. All right, and we've got to return to those. We've also got to really become enlightened as to what the bad policies are, what they're intended for, how they keep people from achieving fulfillment in their lives. And then we can become influencers in our communities for hope and encouragement and to be the light that drives out that darkness. So individual decisions, individual conversations are what are going to shape a society. It's what always has shaped a society and what we've got to get back to. So we've got to bring America back into alignment. We've got to agree again. You know what it comes down to, y'all? We've got to agree again on what the American dream actually is. I mean, it really, like, of all the research I've been doing on this, it really comes down to that simple of a term. We've got to get back into agreement, back into alignment on what the American dream actually is. So I talked about earlier, you know, there's no cavalry coming. You know, that we've got to start becoming influencers and winning hearts and minds to conservative values. We need to convince people that they're not old fashioned, they're not outdated, we're not like out of touch with the times or out of touch with reality. God's word, our country was founded in God's principles, and those are timeless. God says that he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But because I think we've messed up our messaging. You know, we don't have the right messaging, and then our delivery is worse. You know, we've got to get that straight first. We've got to come back to ground zero and get our A game on with conversations. That's how we're going to win people back. So we've got to really inspire people. You know, we've got to become re-inspired ourselves and then drip that over into the people that we talk to. It's real easy for us as we're watching the news, we're watching a lot of this stuff play out on the world stage. It's real easy for us to start giving up on America, giving up on our own freedoms and just saying, well, you know what? It's stacked, it's rigged. You know, there's nothing we can do. What could little old me do? Okay, that's the path. If you're going down that path today, I want you to bring that to a screeching halt. Okay, in our own strength, we are insignificant. We are you know, we're not capable of turning it around. But in God's strength, with his authority, with his wisdom, with his tools, with the spiritual weapons that are available to us, if enough of us, even just one, but if enough of us will start tapping back into that, into our faith. I posted something the other day, you know, when David was talking to Goliath, he wasn't concentrating on how big the giant was. He was concentrating on how big his God is. We know from history, from our Bible, that God, he's in the business of the impossible, right? He's in the business of taking very unlikely people and using them for his purpose. That's what he does. So we either believe or we don't. And you know what? If it all goes to hell in a handbasket, then at least we're going to go down swinging. But we are not going to go down that path of, well, I'm just going to lay down because the system's rigged. No, stop that today. All right. So what can we do? We can talk about how the American dream, like I just said a minute ago, we've got to kind of get back in alignment on what the American dream is. So, you know, any American, this is like what the American dream should be, or what it was designed to say, kind of in everyday language, that any American, no matter what their start was in life, no matter how they started off in life, they have a chance to apply themselves, to gain dignity in working hard for something that they believe in, to feel the exhilaration of their hard work paying off, and then rise to a place where they can be a contributor to society and enjoy the fruits of their labor. They can reach a place of moral and spiritual maturity where they realize that having a servant's heart is the only true path to fulfillment. Okay, now I know that sounds like something like out of a, you know, a frilly novel or something, but with all my heart, I believe that. I spent a lot of time in my career sitting beside entrepreneurs and teaching them how to open and scale businesses. And, you know, people, I mean, this is how the conversation generally would start out. They would come to me and they'd say, you know, I've got this idea for a business. What do you think? You know, and if I sat and I listened to them, I would always ask them, well, why do you want to build it? Tell me what's going on in your head. Like, what are you envisioning? And I could see their faces light up and I could see their, you know, all of this enthusiasm that they would bring, and they'd say, well, I've got this idea and I want to do this and I think I could achieve that. And, you know, but a lot of them would come to me with very little means to do it. And they would say, or maybe they have to risk something big in order to do it. Because, you know, when you're starting out as a business owner, there's not a lot of banks lining up to give you loans unless you're of a certain profession. A lot of these businesses are huge risks. And so they would come to me and they say, what do you think? Do you think we could do it? And I would look at a few things before I would answer them. I would first of all look at how passionate are they? Like, is their why big enough? You know, and then do I feel like the business would be viable? You know, is it just something that I think they're excited about in the moment and it'll kind of pass, or does this really have legs? You know, and then I would look at their staying power, like their ability to really stick it out when things got hard. You know, I would ask them, what other things have you done in your life that have been hard that you've stuck with, that you've stayed with, you know, if I didn't know the person already. So these are the kinds of things that would help me determine whether or not I felt like I wanted to get behind them too and push it forward. But we know when we did it, like when we went straight from that conversation over the course of months, and then we went to the ribbon cutting where their dream was actually coming to fruition, and I got to stand there with them and be a part, like just be a small part of watching their dream come true. And now so many of those people are still in business. They've employed people. They've got all these memories with these people. I love to go back and visit them. That is an incredible, incredible testimony for the American dream. So I've watched it play out over and over and over again. I've also watched businesses fail, and I look at the reasons why they fail. But the point is, we all have the opportunity. We have the chance. A lot of these people came from nothing and built these incredible empires. Some of these people had a little more advantage, but it didn't matter if their heart was in it and they were willing to stick it out through the hard days. And they were willing to listen. They were coachable. They were humble, you know, then 9 times out of 10, they're going to succeed, you know? So I know that there are extenuating circumstances sometimes that are outside of their control. And, you know, we have these statistics around small businesses, but I can tell you that the ones that I've helped, it's been a joy and an honor to just get to see those dreams come to fruition. It's exciting. So the underdog stories, you know, the impossible things coming to pass, the redemption stories, all of these things, our history is full of stories like this. And this is what's possible in America. This is why, too, I want to just kind of segue to a different subject for a minute, but this is why, too, that mass immigration is really unhealthy for our country. And it's unwise. We need to drip people into our society as opposed to allowing gushes of people to come across our southern border right now. And here's why. People are not accustomed to self-governing coming from a lot of these countries. They don't know or understand our culture. They don't know or understand what's possible because they've come from a place where they've truly been oppressed a lot of their lives. Legal immigration gives people a path to citizenship. It includes teaching them our history, our principles, our philosophies, our patriotism, and a love for our country. They're set up for success and they appreciate their citizenship. All the mass immigrants that are coming across right now, and in many cases, they're escaping tyranny or they're escaping danger. And even though this really tugs on our heartstrings, and it does, it's so dangerous to let droves of them into our country right now rather than acclimate them slowly, because they're a lot more likely to recreate the environment that they came from or to perpetuate the bad policies here just out of ignorance. And let me explain what that means. In addition to safety concerns, of course, not being able to vet these people properly, potentially dangerous people coming across our borders. We know that there are cartels and MS-13 and terrorists coming across our border. 150 countries have been identified, people coming across. So outside of the safety concerns right now, the Democrat government is flying them to cities and then busing them into communities, into neighborhoods all over our nation right now. They're just kind of dispersing them. And the idea likely is that they want to cluster them in certain political areas to create a stronghold with the expectation that they'll be given citizenship. We know they're already trying to push that through in Congress right now, fast track to citizenship. And in addition, they're also trying to pass legislation where layers of their families will then be able to come and join them and get instant citizenship. Then they will become dependent on the government for survival, right? A lot of these social programs that are out there. And then in order to continue to perpetuate their survival, they will continue to vote for Democrats to maintain it. So this has nothing to do with care or concern for these immigrants, these poor people. It has everything to do with maintaining power. All right. So I do think we have an opportunity to reach a lot of these people that are coming across. We just have to be really careful. And again, very spirit-led, because a lot of them are dangerous. So we don't want to just go and approach people, you know, carelessly. But I do think that we have an opportunity, but it's going to be an uphill battle, you know, because they're going to be very dependent, you know, on these government policies. So this is what I mean when I say we have to understand the dangers. We have to understand the intent of these policies that are in place now. But what we have to do is we have to start opening our mouths and sharing with people in our communities, one conversation at a time, a better argument for America, a better argument for that American dream. This British author, again, Douglas Murray, said, we've got to opt out of the narratives and the people who perpetuate these seemingly sympathetic yet horribly deflating policies. He says, we've got to opt out. We've also got to vote those people out of office that are drunk with this power. Absolutely drunk with it. But more than that, we've got to come to a reasonable and persuasive voice to teach others why it's important to do so. We don't have the luxury anymore, you guys, of being triggered. We don't have the luxury of being offended. We don't have the luxury of being the silent majority anymore. We don't have that luxury. We have got way bigger fish to fry now. Way bigger fish to fry. So we've got to get busy teaching others how to love our country. I can't tell you how much I have been researching this and really listening for solutions. A lot of you may know I brought up lately how I just finished a 12-week course with the Heritage Foundation Academy out of DC. got to listen to incredible people that are in the trenches right now, fighting for conservative values and the solutions they were coming up with. I've been listening to all kinds of people from different sides of the aisle. I've been doing all of this. I've just been like a sponge lately, just soaking up as much as I can from diverse areas and trying to find like the bottom line. And the bottom line is there is no cavalry coming. We are the cavalry. The bottom line is that it's going to come down to everyday Americans. And I keep saying over and over again, I believe with all my heart, it's going to come down to women. You know why? Because we have superpowers. We have incredible superpowers. And what I mean by that is we can be very persuasive. We can think about things from a lot of different angles. We have very high emotional intelligence. We know how to nurture people. But here's what we've got to do. We've got to be very careful to also maintain our self-control, our dignity, our kindness, our humility. These are the things that are going to win the day. Okay, not coming on too strong, not pushing our agendas or our ideas or our beliefs on people, but planting seeds with utilizing these spiritual tools that I'm talking about and winning people, winning hearts and minds to these values. We've got a much better vision for America than what these radical Democrats are pushing. Their policies basically are telling people, just don't worry about your potential. We're going to take care of you. We understand you're oppressed. We understand that you've had a hard life. We understand. So you know what? Here's a little check and just live a little small life and trust us and you're going to be just fine. Like everybody just settle down. Everybody just quieten down. And we're going to cover everything. We're going to cover it. All these, you know, capitalists, all these people out here that don't care about you, you know, we're going to start shaming them and shutting them up because we understand your plight. We understand how hard it's been for you. Okay. They're not championing potential. They're not the ones breathing life into these people and saying, you know, do you know what you're capable of? Do you understand that you are a child of God? Do you understand that you've got a purpose here? Do you know what potential you have, and feeding that in them and giving them a chance to have hope and encouragement and dignity? All of those things, they're trying to squash all that. So we've got the better message. We just got to get really better at delivering it. And we've got to really understand the counterpoint so that we can speak to it in a way that attracts people and not forces them to listen. You know, if I say this all the time, but you know, people don't care what you have to say until they understand how much you care. And we as conservatives, we come across a little harsh because we're the tough love party. You know, we're the tough love people out there who are about grit and hard work and get up and, you know, go out there, go after your dreams. You know, that comes across a lot of times as unsympathetic, comes across as not compassionate. And we got to change that because we are compassionate. We do care. It's just a different method of caring. It's more of a, you know, push them out of the nest and teach them how to fly as opposed to just stay in the nest. It's safer there. Okay. That is the difference in the messaging. All right. So we've got to do better. And we can also start to simply say, you know what, just as simple as this, when somebody's coming at you with one of these radical ideals or trying to shame you or whatever it is, you can just say, you know what, I reject that vision of America because I have a better one. You know, it doesn't have to get ugly. You don't have to raise your voice. You can just firmly say that. And gratitude has to start replacing all this fear and anxiety and worry. The left's megaphone is spouting critiques and fear and anxiety and worry and all these things at every turn. We've got to start combating that. Again, I say light drives out the darkness. Gratitude. Look at what's happening right now in Afghanistan. Okay, we have no idea what tyranny, danger, desperation looks like in this country. We have no idea. I was watching this morning, and what's happening right now in Afghanistan, which is deeply personal to me because many of you know that my brother, who I lost 6 years ago to PTSD, was deployed there as a Special Ops Marine. And I know he and his brothers, who gave everything for our country, are just sick over it. I know we're all sick over it. All right, but look at what is happening over there. Those poor people, they are so desperate that they are jumping onto airplanes as they're taking off at the airport and falling to their death just to try to get out of that country. I mean, think about that. Jumping on the wings of the airplanes to try to get out. That's how desperate they are to get out, because they know if they stay, they're either going to be killed or tortured or God knows what. So we have no idea what oppression looks like here. We have no idea. Most people, especially young people in our country right now, I asked my friend Dr. Wang this. I said, why don't they appreciate freedom? And he says, because they're just so unaware of what's going on in the rest of the world. They don't have any perspective. We should be like kissing the ground. I was with Marsha Blackburn the other day, and she tells the story a lot about how she had some immigrants that came over that she was hosting for a little while, and she took them to the Grand Ole Opry. And she looked over at one point in the show, and one of the men were bent over, like kissing the ground, kissing the stage. And she walked over and she's like, are you okay? What's wrong? And he said that he actually used to listen to the Grand Ole Opry in his home country, and that he promised if he ever got a chance to come to America, he would kiss the ground. I mean, we have no idea how good we have it here. And it's about time we start remembering that. Let's get some perspective. All right. And let's learn how to sell it. Let's learn how to talk about it. Let's learn how to infect people with our enthusiasm for our country. We inherited a country that isn't perfect, but it affords us the best that life has to offer here. We have a court system here that still cares if our rights have been violated, or if we've, you know, had some kind of grievance. They'll still listen. They'll still entertain us in court. Do you know there are countries around the world that could give a rip? I mean, they don't even care. I mean, we have got it so good. So we've got to refamiliarize ourselves here with the ideals that made America the greatest nation on earth. This, if we will do this, then we will be armed for great debates out there. We do need to clean up, I think, the filthy areas that bring disgrace to our country, rather than celebrate the people who are in the center of them. You know, a lot of the sexual immorality, a lot of this, I mean, women, oh my gosh, we have fallen so far from grace. You know, I was raised to believe that class is everything. You know, you dress in a way that's respectful, and God says our bodies are our temple. The way that I see women dressing and carrying on right now, it's disgusting. You know, we need to clean up. We need to show them that there's a better way, you know, how to be appreciated, how to be respected. You know, these are things that our culture has degraded. It is disgraceful. So I think we need to clean some of those areas up, but we don't do it by shaming. We don't do it by, you know, by shaming them. We have to do it by winning hearts and minds to the value of what's possible. We got to win them over to a better, we've got to have better messaging. We've got to gently plant seeds, walk it out in our own lives so we're not hypocrites. And then we've got to let God do the watering. But all we're responsible for is being responsible for our own lives, you know, and planting seeds, and then remembering that we're not Holy Ghost Junior, stepping out of the way and let God do his work from there. We're not perfect. We don't want to ever put on airs that our lives are perfect, but sometimes we have to get our own hearts right and truly love God, want to follow him because we believe that his ways lead to peace, be vulnerable and transparent with other people when we screw up. You know, we've got human flaws and we've got to admit we're all a work in progress, but it's in our imperfections and our human weakness that God can really show out, that we show that we need a savior. This is why we need a savior. We don't need to be bullied, belittled, or shamed by so-called educated liberals out there, the pompous people with worthless degrees who claim to be experts in areas, shaming you because you haven't, you know, educated yourself. Okay. Those that try to school us or make us feel like our values are out of touch with reality. We can't allow them to trigger us. Okay. God's words are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. They're timeless. So if we can understand our founding principles, and I spend a lot of time on this, I encourage you to go and learn some things for yourself, fast track your political education, get up to speed on these topics that are in our news cycles right now. Come to events that I hold. We're holding one on Friday called Lady Up America, where I'm bringing you a crash course that's going to be so valuable. Tap into things like that. You can go to ladyupamerica.com if you want to learn more about that. We're doing it on Friday. But educate yourself, arm yourself. But it's more about getting your heart right and understanding what our true American values are, and then being willing to talk about them, but also excited and enthusiastic about sharing them. We've got to get tapped back into that, you know. And one of the things that he brought up too that I thought was so good, Douglas Murray the other day, he said, you know, if we were at a party and we were kind of cornered by somebody who was a real Debbie Downer or somebody who was real critical, we wouldn't continue to stay there and listen to that. We would walk away. You know, we wouldn't let them, you know, corner us for too long. We've got to learn to do that as a nation. We don't need to let them take up real estate in our minds or in our lives. We need to focus on the things that are helpful. We've got to speak up. We've got to say things out loud in a balanced way. Always tap into God's wisdom first before you open your mouth, but we've got to start speaking up, and we can't be intimidated to stay silent anymore. It's going to come down, I believe, to brave Americans. I think a lot of brave women speaking up in their lives. Douglas Murray said, we've got two options. We can speak the truth as we see it, or we can grow to despise ourselves more and more. And I'm going to add a third thing. Our third risk here is that we could allow a few loud liberals to hijack our country from our children and from our grandchildren. So speaking up, it's worth doing. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but with God's help and his wisdom, there can be an ease to it, and it can be worth it. You can just say, I'm sorry, I'm not going along with that, or I'm not buying into that lie, and then offering a better idea. Be armed with that. It doesn't require any heroics at this point, okay? It just requires that we each do a little bit more. Person by person, one step at a time, one conversation at a time, we can win our country back. We can turn this train. It's not going to turn on a dime. It's not going to be a white horse riding in to save the day. It's going to come down to us. Trust God with the details. Trust him to give you the words, but by all means, speak up. And trust his timing too. I'll just add that one more thing. Trust his timing. You know, sometimes people aren't in the right headspace to hear it. You know, always be spirit-led. Please go back and listen to some of my other videos, because I talk a lot about what it means to be spirit-led and what that actually looks like in real life. We can't just go in recklessly. We can't get some bright idea and go in. We've got to do it in God's timing and in his way. And the way we do that is we pray about it first and we wait for that prompting. You know, we let him give us the clarity on that. We don't just go in our own strength. But anyway, I want to pray over you guys real quick as we end today. We're out of time, but I always like to end with a prayer over you. And I thank you again for watching. Please remember, we've got Lady Up America coming up this Friday, ladyupamerica.com. It's going to be at Maggiano's here in Nashville. And really invite you to come and be a part of that with me. All right, but let me pray over you guys. All right. Dear Lord, I thank you so, so much for the opportunity to come and share with the beautiful women that you have listening. Lord, I know that there's a lot on our hearts today. We've got heavy hearts over so many things that are playing out on the world stage right now. But Lord, I ask you to just bring a peace and a calm. You said, peace be still to the storm. And I am calling that same peace over these ladies today, Lord. I ask you to help us to really let it sink in, your message today, Lord. Let it sink in and give us courage, God. Give us wisdom and help us to start in our own corner of the world, to start turning this train, to turning our nation back to you, Lord. Let us do it in a way that's graceful and kind, but firm and effective. Father, we know you love us, and we just want you to know that we love you and that your will be done in our life. Lord, we surrender to you. We will not give the enemy any kind of foothold. We will not buy into fear and anxiety and worry, Lord. We trade all that. We lay all that at your feet today. And Lord, we pick up instead faith and grace and courage and peace. Lord, I ask that everywhere our feet tread, everywhere that we speak today would be peaceful. And Lord, that every seed that we plant for you would be watered, Lord, by you, and it would come to fruition in the people's lives that you want to heal. I thank you, Lord, that you're healing our nation. We thank you, we praise you, and we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, hope that's been of help to you today. And let me know how you're doing. And just remember, walk in faith, not fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. All right. Love you guys. And I will see you tomorrow at 3:00 sharp. Come to DianeCanadaLive.com and you can watch me live anytime. I might try to come back on some of the social sites if I see they're lightening up on censoring me. We'll see. All right. Have a great rest of the day. See you later. Bye-bye.